Today is Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. This is Jessica Robles, a student from UCSD, working on an oral history project. And I'm interviewing Teresa Gonzalez. And we are at Casa Familiar in San Ysidro, California. What is your name?
My name is Teresa Gonzalez.
What is your favorite color and why?
My favorite color, it's purple. And I guess because it reminds me of royalty. Maybe this goes way back when I was a child, and maybe books that I've read, and the princesses were dressed in purplish color, and I think that's why it goes way back.
What is your favorite meal and why?
My favorite meal, I'm going to have to say, is chilaquiles, because my mom would always cook chilaquiles for us, and every time we would go home, there was always chilaquiles on the table. And I guess because it's the easiest thing to make, and it's just, you know, tear up the tortillas and throw them in the pan and, you know, throw a couple of eggs and just mix it around, and voila, you have chilaquiles. And that's, you know, capable of feeding a large family at a reasonable price. And that's why I remember my mom, you know, with those chilaquiles always on the table. And that's why it's still my favorite. I guess I'll never get tired of them.
What is the happiest moment in your life?
The happiest moment, I'm going to say, is when I had my first born child, because I didn't think I was ever going to be able to be a mother. I used to live in a poor neighborhood, and there were some sort of hazardous waste, and so a lot of the people around our vicinity were having miscarriages, and I thought I was never going to be a mother. I had 3 miscarriages before I had my firstborn. That was the proudest moment that I can recall.
What are you proudest of?
Oh, I'm proudest. I'm going to say that my children have succeeded, and they're making something out of their lives. And I'm very proud for that, you know, because it takes a lot nowadays in order to make it in this world, that it is so hard to have to prove that you're good at something in order to succeed. And I think that my children have done that, and I'm very proud of them for doing that.
Who has been the biggest influence in your life?
Well, I'm going to have to say my mom, because in her own way, she's always been there for all of us. But I remember this one particular time that I had a car accident, my first car accident a long time ago, and I was so afraid of getting back in the car. And I remember she told me, no, you know, you gotta do it. And she practically forced me to get back in the car and start driving again. And I think that kind of pushed me to never give up and always strive to continue. And I think that would be it.
Who has been the most important person in your life, and could you tell me about them?
The most important person in my life. The most important person, again, I'm going to have to say it's my mom, because thanks to her, she somehow pushed me to the edge. And I was the oldest of 11 kids. And so she depended on me for everything. And if I failed, you know, it would be like the whole family. So she pushed me and pushed me. And if I was embarrassed or shy, or she would just tell me, you know, you gotta do it. You know, there's nobody else. And since there was nobody else, it had to be me. So I think my mom would be that person that really influenced me in my life. And she never let me quit. She was always there pushing me. And it was, I think, thanks to her, I'm still around. I guess that's it.
Okay. What is the most important lesson you have learned throughout life?
I guess the most important lesson that we all have to learn is that we can never give up. And if you're down, you get up, brush yourself, and keep on trucking. And just make it happen. Whatever it is, just hang in there. In Spanish that says no hay mal que por bien no venga, which means that, you know, there's always something good out of something bad. So just hang in there, and as long as you hang on, you'll survive.
Is there anything you wish you had done differently throughout life?
Probably the only thing I will probably change or do differently would have been to get an education and prepare myself academically. And I would probably have had a better life if I had done that. I know I would have had a better life if I had been educated the way I wanted to. But like I said, being the oldest of 11 kids, it's kind of hard because all the little ones depend on the older ones to help out. And that was my case. I had to be one of the ones that had to help out at home financially. I was a second mom, and it was hard. It was hard. So that's why I had to put all my wantings to be aside for my family, for them to have a better, at least an opportunity to succeed in life. And so that's what I did. I sacrificed myself for them.
Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up?
God, there were so many things I wanted to be when I grew up. You know, I was always very good at arguing, and I wanted to be a lawyer, and I was the oldest, so I had to cure a little scratches and that my siblings or mishaps that they had. So I was the first one to give them first aid. So I was that, oh gosh, I want to be a doctor. And then in high school, when I was in high school, I started to learn French. Then I wanted to be an airline stewardess. I figured, man, I can travel to different parts of the countries and, you know, learn different customs and, you know, just try out different environments. But again, Aldo had to be given up because I just needed to help out at home. And so all my wanting to be's were just wannabes, and they never came to be. And that was it.
Okay. What do you currently do for a living?
I work in accounts payable. I'm an assistant. I help out in accounting and bookkeeping. I help out the supervisors, the managers. I'm like what you would call a jack of all trades. I do a little of everything. I help here, I help there whenever I'm needed. I know how to do it all. You know, just I'm a handy person in all aspects of office work.
Tell me about your family. Do you have a husband, children, pets?
Yes, I have my husband. He's a mechanic. And I have my two boys and a little girl. And you know, I'm sure that when they grow up, they have aspirations, and I'm hoping that their dreams will come true, and they'll be whatever they want to be. And not just like me, that I had to give up my dreams. I want to make sure they get a chance of making the dreams come true. Okay. I also have, we have two dogs. We have a chocolate lab and a little dog, which is, she's very adorable. She's so cute.
And the poodle.
And she's just a small dog, but you know. And that's about it. My husband, my two boys, my girl, and our two dogs, and that's it.
Okay. What did you grow up?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Where did you grow up as a child? Or what do you consider home?
I grew up in Mexico. I was born in Mexico, but I came here and I went to school here. I got most of my education. Not very good neighborhoods because we were so many kids. It was hard to find a home that would allow 11 kids to live in there. All the landlords were afraid of having their houses torn apart by 11 kids. So we lived in Aliso Village, and which is not a very good neighborhood. But that's where I grew up mainly. And, you know, I'm grateful to God that even though we lived in a bad neighborhood where we were exposed to drugs and bad influences, and, you know, I thank the Lord that most of my siblings, most of them, survived, and you know, they have good careers, maybe because I sacrificed mine, but most of them have good jobs, and they're survivors, and you know, I'm just grateful to God for that. As far as everything else, I consider myself a lucky person, you know, that that we are still alive and still hanging around to see our kids grow up and hopefully our grandkids as well.
Can you go in a little bit more detail how your childhood was when you were growing up?
Well, we really had it hard. We really had a real hardship growing up. Just alone, you know, 11 kids using the restroom, taking showers. It was hard. You know, while I was knocking at the door, I was making a line to go into the restroom. I don't know how my mom did it. I don't know how my mom was able to control all of us, you know, feed all of us. And, you know, having kids almost every 2 years, one after the other, it was unbelievable. I remember I was in high school and my mom was still having kids. And, you know, that's such a hard burden on everybody, you know, because my mom was so bad at having children. The first 3 months, she would just have this morning sickness that she couldn't cook. She couldn't do anything for 3 months. And that was such a burden. I remember that so bad. And I used to hate it. I used to hate the fact that she would get pregnant every 2 years. And that meant that I had to be the mom. I had to cook for them. I had to get them ready for school. I had to do the laundry. I had to do everything because my mom could not be around perfumes, around the soap, around cooking. She was just totally out for the first 3 months. And that was the hardship, that the burden that I had to go through growing up. And, you know, the fact that I was just a child taking care of other children, and not just one or two, it was 10 of them. It was, well, you know, whatever number of children that were around at that time, but it was hard. It was hard on me. And I'm sure it was hard on them too, because they had to eat whatever I was able to cook. And being such a young age, I'm sure it was not the best of the meals that I was probably able to provide for them. And my dad was the only one working at home. So that, again, was hard because we were restricted in many ways. We did not have a regular Christmas presents because there was not enough money. My mom was always busy with the kids, so she never worked. I mean, not in a bad way, because she was always busy at home with all those kids, you know. But when I started working, which I was very young, I started working at the age of 13. I lied about my age so that I would be able to get the job. And I always looked older than I looked, I guess, because of the hardship I went through. So the person that hired me believed that I was the age I told them. So I started working, and I would save my money. And when Christmas came around, I would buy presents for all my brothers and sisters. And ever since I got that job, I swore to myself that my brothers and sisters would always have a Christmas. They always had Christmas presents for Christmas. And it was fun, I guess, in a way, because I became a mom at a very young age with my siblings. Not a real mom, because you know, they were not my kids, but like if they were, if anything happened to them, man, what I was, well, I was reprimanded by my mom that I should be taking care of them, and I would get such a beating from my mom if I didn't take care of the kids, or if one of them fell, or if one of them got hurt, my mom would let me have it. I mean, she would, I'm not kidding, she would get the iron cord and smack me with it because one of the kids got hurt, and I was responsible for them. So it was hard. I had a real hard life, and, you know, I didn't know any better. So I provided for them, and I took care of them, and that's because it was expected of me, and I did it because I was told I had to do it. So, yeah, I had a hard life, to say the least. Anything else?
Is there one memory that stood out to you as a child?
To be honest, I have a sister, which is the one next to me, and the only memory I have is that when we were growing up, I had done some kind of work for a neighbor, and I was compensated with a penny. Back in the days, you know, a penny bought you something. So I would go and get, I got a balloon, and I was so happy with my balloon, and my sister wanted that balloon. And I told her, no, it's my balloon. I earned it. I worked for it. It's my balloon. And she says, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to tell my mom that, you know, that you hit me or that, you know, that I won that balloon. And I told her, I don't care. Go tell her. It's my balloon. I earned it. It's mine. Well, she went and she told my mom that she wanted the balloon. And in our culture, whatever the youngest one wants, they get. The oldest ones have to lose out on whatever it is. And my mom tried to get the balloon out of my hands, and I held on to it. And I wanted that balloon so badly. And she got the balloon. She says, well, if you're not going to give it to your sister, you know, I'm going to pop it. And she took it and she popped it in my body, in my upper body. And ever since then, believe it or not, to the day I'm still scared of balloons. When they pop, I'm scared of them. And that's that memory. I don't know why, but for some reason, that memory taunts me. And to the day, it's like so vivid. And I still remember like if it was yesterday. And that sister was always, she always wanted everything I wanted, everything I had. So ever since then, whatever she wanted, I would just give it to her because I was just afraid of my mom retaliating against me. But, you know, that's, again, it's our culture that the youngest one gets whatever they want and they get away with it. And, you know, I don't know if all the cultures are like that, but that's our culture. I know it's not very, very nice. It doesn't sound very nice, but it is what it is. Anything else?
How did your parents play a role in your life?
Well, you know, my parents, my dad, take my dad, for instance, he was the money earner, you know, he would earn the money for the survival of the family. So he was always working, seldom ever home. I remember him growing up, we would see him maybe one or two days out of the whole week. And it was very rare that we would even exchange conversations. You know, my dad was just there to earn the money. And my mom, well, like I said, she was always busy with kids. Not much of a family, to be honest, because there was really no communication. My mom, I was telling me about, being a role model for the younger kids and always being at my best behavior. And she would always tell me that I had to set an example for the younger ones because they would follow in my footsteps. So, I used to love school. I would always get straight A's. I would always try my best to be my best because I always knew that kids, my brothers and sisters were learning from me. So I always had to set an example for them. And that's because mom and dad told me I had to be a role model. And I had to, I had a lot of eyes on me. And I had to be the best at on everything. And I was. I was good in sports. I was good in school. Like I said, I was straight A in all my classes. In sports, I was the best in sports. I would always get certificates. I always get acknowledgement from the teachers. I don't have to say I was a role model, I guess, for my brothers and sisters. And I knew I had to be good because for them, to prove to them that if I did it, they could do it too. And mom and dad made sure that I was good because they were always there to remind me, you gotta be on your best behavior because your brothers and sisters are watching. And whatever you do, you gotta do the right thing. And so that's why I guess I never used drugs because I didn't want my brothers and sisters to use drugs. I was always trying to do the very best of everything. And, God helped me to do the very best. And I'm going to have to say most of my brothers and sisters saw how I was and strived to be the same way I was. And like I said, some of them survived and did very well. And I'm very proud of them. And I think that's it. Any other questions?
Can you explain your relationship with your children?
I think I have a good relationship with them because from experience, I already had a lot of experience with my other siblings. I remember, yes, I'm very good relationship with my kids. We talk about everything. And I always tell them, to always do their best. And, if things go wrong, just hang in there. Things will get better. And, there's so much perversion out there on the streets and drugs and influences, bad things out there. And I always try to tell them to keep their eyes open and, look at their surroundings and, just take care of themselves and just keep their nose clean because whatever they do, it comes back on the family. And, if they do bad things, it's going to come right back to us. And I noticed my oldest one had just mentioned something. Says, I always remember you saying that, whatever you do outside, it comes back to the family. And, I guess that's what keeps him going and staying out of trouble. Because whatever those kids do, it comes back to the family. So that's my thing that I always tell them. And, our communication goes so well that, I hope that and I know that they know that they have the freedom to come and talk to me of whatever it is that they're, you know, it's going on in their minds, or if anything, they have the freedom to come and talk to me. And also another thing too, all those parents out there, I ask you to please pay attention to their children, because my middle child was abused by a teacher. And he told me, the teacher's mean. But you know, I mean, kids always tell you, oh, my teacher's mean, you know. But you know, you gotta listen to the kids. And unfortunately, my son was abused by a teacher. And that teacher had a real bad reputation. She had been in trouble previously, and that teacher just would get transferred from one school to another. And she was never reprimanded, and never was never thrown out as being teacher, you know, or just being expelled from the district, because, you know, those things were not done. And now I see all these new corrections that are being done regarding abusive teachers, you know. That's why I always tell parents, listen to your children. Read between the lines. Don't just, when your child tells you something, pay attention. And because there might be more to it than just, you know, a simple, oh, my teacher is mean. You know, you gotta really, when a child gives you a hint, you know, especially with all those bullies that are out there nowadays, you gotta pay attention and just be on your guard when you hear your children giving you any kind of warning. You know, listen to them, because there might be more than just that warning message that they're giving you. Be more attentive to your kids, because you never know. You know, there's so many people out there that are bad people, and it comes from races, not only in minorities or gringos, or, you know, just in general. Just you know, just protect your children, because the children are our future. And if we don't take care of them, you know, what's left? Nothing is left. So I urge all of you parents out there, listen to your children and take care of them. Even if it takes, you know, us adults taking a step and do something about it. Don't just sit and pretend it's not happening. You know, take action. And that's my recommendation for all those parents out there. Any other questions?
Would you raise your children the same way your parents raised you?
No, never. Because the way my parents raised me, they put a lot of responsibility, unnecessary responsibilities on me. And I used to hate them for it. They used to, like I said, they made me responsible for my family, for their family, you know. And if I didn't take care of them, I would get punished. And so I used to tell myself that I would never raise my children that way. I would never made one responsible for the other. I do tell them to take care of each other, you know, but just as a lookout, you know, just protection. But I don't make them responsible for their siblings. I think that's wrong of us Mexicans to do that, to rely on the older siblings to take care of the younger siblings. That is just wrong. there's, you know, it's not their fault that we Mexicans keep having children after children after children. You know, it's not the younger, it's not the older ones' responsibility to take care of the younger ones. You have them, you take care of them. It's not their responsibility. It is a parent's responsibility to take care of the children. And you know, that's what I see in our tradition as well, that there's always children taking care of children, and I think that is so wrong, because the parents are the ones that are having the children. They're the ones that should be responsible for taking care of the children they bear. Any other questions?
What values do you think is important when it comes to raising children?
You know, the values that I raised in my kids is always make an honest living, because if you do anything illegal, it catches up to you. And what's the use of having quick money when you can't even enjoy it? You know, you're always looking over your shoulder, you know, always on the lookout, and it's best to be a righteous person, making a decent living, you know, having a decent job, and you know, just making your own life. You know, easy money, there's always danger. So the values I tell my kids is always be honest, and keep your, you know, always have your, you know, your make an honest living. And don't try the fast lane where easy money comes in, and you know, and you have this rush where you have access to easy money, and you know, you take a shot, and it always backfires. You know, it always catches up to people, and again, it retaliates on the family. If you do anything wrong, it comes back to the family. So for the protection of the whole family, keep your nose clean and do your best, and you know, just stay out of trouble.
Are you raising your children more American or Mexican?
I'm gonna have to say more American, because there's a lot of traditions that I don't allow in my family. For example, that older siblings taking care of the younger siblings, never, never. So I think that's totally Americanized, that where the, you know, the parents are the ones that are taking care of the kids and not the younger children, not the older children. Again, Mexican tradition is the mom irons and does all the cleaning. You know, I believe in the, you know, the American, Americans have chores to do, and you know, they do what they do, and I think Americanized is more like the way I want to raise my kids, because a lot of the traditions that we Mexicans have, I don't like. Again, if another one of the traditions where the youngest gets whatever they want, regardless of whose it is, and I don't believe in that. If a toy belongs to some, to one of them, the toy stays with that one. And it, you know, if that person decides to share the toy, okay, they share the toy. If not, you know, easily compensate it with a different toy, or try to just persuade them to look elsewhere and get something else. You know, just try to just, you know, talk to the child and make them understand that, you know, the toy belongs to somebody else and it's not theirs. And just make them understand. And I know that Mexican families, they don't talk like that. They just grab and give it to the younger ones, which I totally disapprove. And again, I believe that it's more Americanized than
than Mexican.
Okay. What is your favorite family tradition?
A family tradition is always spending Christmas with the family, and I believe that it's like the most precious moment because, again, that's when our Jesus Christ was born. Well, supposedly, right? Not a real accurate date, but Christmas is when the baby Jesus was born, and that's when all the family, I believe, should be together. And that's what I tell my kids, you know. Christmas is for the family to be together because it's, you know, it's a special moment. And that's the only thing that I tell my kids, that no matter where they're at or where, you know, where they live when they grow up and have their own family, that they should always come home for Christmas. And that's about the only tradition that I really emphasize to my kids. You know, hopefully they can oblige, you know, and remember this throughout their lifehood or our lifehood. And that's about it.
Okay. Is there a tradition you have created over the years?
Well, I wouldn't really call it a tradition, but we started this little game where we do the Secret Santa thing, you know, and we've been doing it for the last few years, and it's been fun, you know, where we throw our names in a little hat, you know, just our little family. We throw our names in a hat, and we pick a name, and that person is a little Secret Santa. So we buy, you know, we make them fill out a list of their favorite things or what would they like, the first, second, third choice. We try to get the, you know, their favorite thing for their Christmas present. And I remember the first time we did it, it was so amazing. It was like, oh my gosh, it was like so great. We were all shocked that we got this real expensive gifts, you know, because we figured it's only one gift, right? We might as well make it worth it. So we put this real high price, and we ended up spending a lot more the very first time. It was so nice that we decided to have it the next year, and then the year after that, and so on and so forth. So to the day, we still have that. So I don't know if it's going to be continued, but hopefully it will, because it's fun. It's fun. We open all these gifts, you know, and it one person that, you know, gets that one special gift, and oh gosh, it's all well worth it. So I think that's about it. Anything else?
Okay, yeah. Do you plan to pass down any traditions, or you wish some your family members would continue this?
I think it would be fun if the family grew bigger and then the same thing was passed on. But who knows, you know, that's just a little thing that we started, and hopefully it will. But I think that Secret Santa is really cute, and it's fun, you know, but with, it would be nice if it got carried on to the generations, you know. It would be so much fun, I bet, if, you know, because I know the family's going to grow, and we're going to be, you know, this enormous group having a Secret Santa, but I think it would be fun.
Do you believe the word tradition plays an important factor in today's society, or just growing up in general?
I'm going to say yes, it plays a big factor for the fact that not too many traditions are being carried anymore. And I think we, you know, every family needs something to hold on to, something that reminds them of the previous generations. And, you know, just the fact that that's, it got started, you know, in your generation and it got passed on. I think that that sounds like really, really nice, you know. It would be nice if it got passed on to the future generations. Because we need to, you know, we need something to remind us of the family, of the bindings, of the togetherness, just in general, being with the family, that alone is great. And, you know, family is what keeps everything together. You know, I've had friends that tell me that thanks to the family, they were survivors because if they didn't have any family, they would have nobody to turn to. And I believe that's true. Just, you know, my family alone, my brothers and sisters alone, if one of us get in trouble, we're all there for them, and we help each other. And I know we're never going to be alone because we always have somebody there to help us, no matter what kind of trouble we're in, you know. Family's family. And it's just, you know, there's nothing stronger than blood, you know, to hold you together and to remind you that, you know, they're your brothers, your sisters, and you have to help them out. You have to be there for them. You know, I'm beginning to sound like my mom and dad, right, where they forced me to be there for my brothers and sisters. But, you know, family, it's all about that, you know, just being there for them whenever that they need you, or whenever you need them, vice versa, you know, just family is, like they say, blood is thicker than water, and it's so true. It's so true because I've had friends, and friends come and go, you know, but family's always there, no matter what. So that's why when I chose padrinos, or meaning godparents for my children, I made sure they were family and not just friends, because I believe that they will be there, not, you know, if I'm gone now, I know that my children will never be alone, because they'll always have an auntie or an uncle looking after them. Or if they get in trouble or need something, I know they can go to one of my brothers and sisters, and they will help them. You know, because of me, because I was there, I was their sister, or their, you know, that I helped them, so they have to help my children as well. I was there for them, and they have to be there for them. And I know they will. That's why I kind of don't believe in just friends. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I know there's good friends out there, but I don't know. For baptisms, family would be your best bet, because you can break relationship with friends, but a brother and a sister, no matter how many times you get mad at them, they're always going to be there, you know. They're always going to be at your side for whatever it is that you need. Anyway, that's my belief.
Okay. Okay, for the last question, is there any advice or wisdom or something that you felt that you would like to share?
Advice? The only advice I can tell or share with you is, again, going back to listen to your kids, read between the lines, whatever comment they make, pay attention to them. See if they have any changes in their behavior. If they make any notions, any comments about anything, listen to them. Don't just brush them off, because I know I was a mom too, and I know life is busy. I know we're always consumed in other things, or you know, busy trying to rush dinner, you know, because husband is almost home, and you know, we're busy with our own lives, or ay, la comadrita va a venir, or you know, my neighbor's coming or whatever, and I have to have the house clean. No, all that can wait. Listen to your children, put them first. Like if they were the only ones, when you talk to them, look at them in their eyes. Listen to them. Pay attention to them. And moms, I notice that nowadays with the cell phones, oh my gosh, I see all these parents on the cell phone instead of keeping an eye on their kids. Don't do that. There's too many crazy people out there, and you know, you cannot afford to be distracted on the phone. You have to keep an eye on your children. Take care of your kids. Don't let them run around. You know, make them understand that they have to be close to you at all times, especially when you're out on the street. Because sometimes kids just take off on you, and, you know, there's too many crazy cars driving out there. You know, just take care of your kids. That's all I tell you. I was an overprotective mom, and I expect everybody to, you know, just not to be an overprotective mom like I was, but at least, you know, I was an overprotective mom, and still things happen to my middle child, you know, and I feel so guilty for not catching it on time. I, you know, I try to do something, but I had meetings with the principal. I did everything I could. But like I said, you know, in some places, getting rid of teachers is not as easy as it seems. And I just had trouble. I had no cooperation from the principal. I had no cooperation from the district. I just had a hard time. And I tried to do everything I could, but there was no support there. And I don't know, sometimes I feel so guilty that I could probably have done more. But I just, at that point, I just thought I exhausted everything. And I went to everybody I could, and I just got no results. But anyway, my recommendation to your parents is pay attention to your children. And don't let them do what they want to do. You tell them what to do. You know, one of my friends made a comment the other day that the older son came to them and told them, if all the parents were as strict as you guys were with me, there wouldn't be so much corruption out there. There wouldn't be so many criminals out there. And I believe that is so true, because nowadays, kids are raising kids, and, you know, they have no idea how to raise their children, because they're kids themselves. But I tell you, if they were a little more stern, and they have control over their children, I think that life would be so much better for everybody. Because I don't believe in kids smacking their parents. I don't think so. You know, I do believe in corporal punishment, like the Mexican style. Now I'm Mexican, right? But you know, you can reprimand kids in certain ways where you know they you get your point across, and you let them know who's the boss, and you put your foot down when you need to put your foot down. Again, we have to choose our battles, you know, pick and choose. You're not going to dispute over something minor, you know, but you got to understand when you have to put your foot down and when the child is getting out of hand. I think if you were keep that in mind, I think this whole world would be a better place for all of us. And anyway, I think that's about it.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. I'm glad I was able to help. And, you know, I just think that there's so many things out there that we as parents can do for our kids. And one of them is, it's, you know, you have control over them. I know it's not easy. And, you know, nothing is easy in this world, but we as parents, we have to manage a way to do it. And hopefully this message goes to every parent out there and every to-be parent so that they can be ready for children and make a better life, not only for the children, but for future generations. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. And good luck to everybody. Thank you, Jessica, for this interview.